Good evening. Michael Cohen here, producer James Platy. It is Wednesday night in Lansing. Thanks for joining us. A packed show, so let's begin. While 9/11 changed American airport security forever, it was just the beginning of what some people view as an increasingly invasive level of searches at our airports, while others say they're necessary for our safety. Kip Hawley, who was the head of the Transportation Security Administration from 2005 to 2009, writes about what's really happening behind the scenes in his new book, Permanent Emergency, Inside the TSA and the Fight for the Future of American Security. Kip joins us now. Thank you so much for coming on the program tonight.
Thank you, Michael.
I want to ask you at first about the TSA philosophy of random searches, whether it's at the airport or at our trains and buses now. Do you think that this is a smart approach towards security?
Random is part of basically all security, whether it's got to do with protecting your bank credit card or airport or anything else. That having some degree of random is helpful because it puts the other guy off pace, so they can't be sure exactly what you're going to do. I think the point you mentioned about being overly intrusive is the key point, that in risk management, you figure out what you're willing to put up with a little bit of risk, and then it gives you greater flexibility. So, for instance, the intrusive pat-down, I think, frankly, has gone too far, and it's time to pull that one back. And the same thing with prohibited items, like looking for your Swiss Army knife and other blades, because after 9/11, that was probably necessary to stop other hijackings. But now, 10 years later, there are so many defenses against in-plane hijackings that now we just waste time at checkpoints looking for things that aren't going to cause a terrorist attack.
You know, what really outrages the public are these stories about TSA employees, you know, the ones that are patting down babies, making the elderly remove their adult diapers, and putting the disabled in wheelchairs through humiliating searches. Who are these people, and why in the world are they doing this?
The first point is that they feel the same way you do, that the officers at TSA came to the agency to stop terrorist attacks, and some of the rules that are handed to them and told them to do, you know, they don't like it any more than the passenger. And I think if they lightened up on the rules of making everything so black and white and written down in a regulation, that it would allow the officers to back off a little bit and use their security skills and, you know, some of the common sense things that you see are a problem because the rules are written for a 2 million person population, and of course everybody's different. So that's what usually runs afoul.
Well, there is common sense, though. I mean, this current case just occurred in Wichita at the Mid-Continent Airport, where this 4-year-old girl was running to her grandmother. She was then yelled at by a TSA officer and patted down. These stories do fade away, but they kind of point out the fact that the common sense seems to be missing. How much pressure are these officers under not to understand that, hey, this is a child and I'm not going to approach this as a potential terrorist?
Well, there are things you can do to screen a child. There's no reason, because Al-Qaeda is willing to use infants to put literally bombs in their diapers, and the mother is willing to do that and blow everybody up. This is literally a true plot from 2006. So I don't think there's anything wrong with having some screening for essentially everybody, but there are easier ways to do things that are less intrusive for small kids or elderly or disabled. But I have to say, I've seen video of somebody in a wheelchair doing a suicide attack, killing about 30 people as he rolls up in his wheelchair. So Al-Qaeda will use every possible way to get at us that violate our social norms, but we have to be smart enough to figure out security that doesn't violate our own culture and that does allow security but is not demeaning.
I'm talking to Kip Hawley. He's the former head of the TSA, has a new book titled Permanent Emergency, Inside the TSA and the Fight for the Future of American Security. Kip, you know, some say that profiling is a horrible thing to do when it comes to airport security. Although, is it ultimately effective, and how much of that is already happening in the TSA?
Well, profiling, when it's used to say, I think I know what a terrorist looks like, and it's a young Middle Eastern male, is a useless way to do it. Because, frankly, they have people that look like any one of us. And I think of Brian Neovenius, who was who I tell a story in the book about, who's a Catholic altar boy who played Little League baseball and wore around with a Yankees hat, and ended up in the elite camps coming to bomb America. And you'd never in a million years be able to identify all the different types of people. So what you do is you look at behavior, and there is behavior that you can pick up that is not racially sensitive, because everybody looks the same when they're nervous and full of contempt and that kind of thing, that will give away a terrorist plot.
Let me ask you, what are we not learning from a country that's known to be the most able to thwart terrorist attacks, Israel? What are they doing right when it comes to their security procedures that El Al, that the TSA, is not now doing?
It's the divide between the public and the security, because in Israel, the public and the security services are one and the same. And so they work together, and it makes somebody who is trying to, you know, break their system stand out more. And right now what's happened is the American public is just not on the same page, not even listening to TSA, and that's the problem. TSA has excellent behavior stuff. The technology is as good as Israel. So the physical tangibles are as good or better than what Israel has. But what we miss is the key thing, which is an iron will. And it's got to be consistent, and it's got to be between the country and the security services. So what I argue is that the TSA needs to back off some of those intrusive pat-downs and prohibited items so that the public can start paying attention again and realize that we're all on the same team, and it will save cost. There's just a lot of good that comes from it. But it's not complicated, and it's not expensive. It's getting on the same page.
Well, what about the fact that the Israeli security folks do have a military background? They go through sometimes by interviewing potential passengers, they can get a sense of what a problem might be. How do you compare that to the quality of employee that we now have working as TSA screeners?
Well, at TSA, they have an elite program that is a result of experience and training, where they do the behavior detection on a par with what the Israelis do. And in fact, we've had Israeli people in charge of that program come and learn from some of the things we do in the U.S. as we, in fact, learn from them. So the issue is not that we don't have the talented people. It's that we identify those talented people and then give them the opportunity to do that. If you have somebody who can do Israeli-style interviewing, what in the heck is that person doing fishing through bags looking for screwdrivers? And that's my point. We've got people who can do it. It's just that we need to cut out a lot of the work that's useless.
So tell me, what would you credit for the lack of a successful terrorist attack in our airports and airplanes since 9/11 occurred?
It's really the point of my book, which is that there is an incredible intelligence operation that runs underneath the surface and is excellent at getting ahead of these plots. So while TSA kind of takes the brunt of all the craziness of the checkpoints, TSA is actually quite involved with the intelligence community on a real-time basis, and having air marshals do some coverage for FBI people when they need to do surveillance, and all sorts of things where the intelligence comes from the NSA, and TSA is able to adjust something on the other side of the world to prevent an attack. So there's actually a tremendous amount of things going on underneath the surface, and I wrote the book really to let that come out so that people could understand a little bit better perspective.
What about on the terrorist side? How complex are their plots now becoming? I'm sure they're aware of our procedures.
Yeah.
What kind of very close calls, and what kind of plans do they seem to be hatching now?
Well, you're exactly right. They're as sophisticated as we are technically. They don't have the resources, but their people are as smart as our people, and they study us. And one of the examples in the book that I think was the closest of all of the attacks since 9/11 was in 2008, when a terrorist named Zubair was literally stalking the TSA, closing in on vulnerabilities that he thought he could take down a plane. And it was a cat-and-mouse game, as the intelligence community is feeding us information about Zubair and his operatives, and then we're making counter moves. And that's that will take your breath away. And for me, I spent my days and nights on plots. And of course, when you go to work, all people want to talk about is something stupid happening at a checkpoint. So it's kind of a double life you lead. I think there should be more recognition given to the teamwork in the intelligence community and TSA and others.
Although we did see two close calls involving young men coming from overseas to this country on planes, trying to blow them up. Those were thwarted on the plane itself. Do you think, though, it makes sense for our domestic flights and for Americans that are flying regularly to have to endure the type of security we now have based on these plots that we kind of have? Well, we have a sense of where they're likely going to come from, don't we?
We might think we do. And in many cases, intelligence will tell us, give us a good basis for thinking that. But one thing I've learned is, and it was really in the 9/11 commission about failure of imagination, you can never assume that you know what they're going to come out with. So that's why you need some security against even the things that you don't plan. And I would say that all this stuff about the easier screening on frequent flyers, we ought to extend that to everybody. And there's nothing about being a frequent flyer that makes it harder for Al-Qaeda to find somebody who's a frequent flyer. That is just not a problem. So what we ought to do is fix the system for everybody and then make it harder for Al-Qaeda to figure out what vulnerabilities there are, because we're quick on adapting.
One last thing. It'd be very hopeful to say that we'll never have another terrorist attack on one of our airplanes or in one of our airports. But right now, where is your, when you look at our structure, what is your greatest concern?
It's the passenger boarding outside the United States, coming through into the passenger cabin with an explosive broken up into components. I think that remains the number one target, and that's why our international cooperation is, in my opinion, as important as what we do domestically. As you saw with Abu Mutallab, he went through security a number of times overseas, and they should have caught him. But it really was the security protocols of the liquids that forced them to use a bomb that didn't work. So in a bizarre way, it was those horrible baggies that we all hate that forced Al-Qaeda bomb makers to come up with a bomb that only singed his private parts.
Kip Hawley, former head of the Transportation Security Administration. You can find his book now just out titled Permanent Emergency, Inside the TSA and the Fight for the Future of American Security. Kip, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Michael.
And we're coming right back. Our email address for feedback, though, is ccrecap@gmail.com. Please send us a line. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.